in Hebrew, Arabic, and Greek, and even books in the Old Testament, a couple of prominent books, Daniel and Ezra, both was primarily with Arabic language. And so this word Abba, from my gather, means father. Some people says it means a more passionate meaning, like daddy or papa. But from what I understand, it's stronger than that. And it means, oh, father, or father, father. Abba, father. And we're going to look and see how it's utilized and how it applies. It's definitely has a warm affection to it. It definitely has a level of confidence applied to it. And we find that Jesus used this, talking to his Father. But we also find that each of us that have been adopted into the family of God has the same privilege as what Jesus had. And one of the greatest privileges we have is to be able to cry, Abba, Father. And we're going to look at that phrase a little bit and think about it. But let's begin reading, if you would, in chapter 14 and begin in verse number 32. And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul, now notice this is Jesus speaking, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Now you have to remember, Jesus is God-man. He's all God, he's all man. Spiritual-wise, he's all God, but he also has a seed of woman, which endeared him to flesh. He hungered, he thirsted, he got tired. His soul was exceedingly sorrowful as he approached Calvary. It was a heavy, heavy burden. Now notice the next verse. The Bible says in verse 35, And he went forward a little and fell on the ground, and he prayed that if it be possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not that I will, but what thou wilt. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come, and Lord, it's such an honor to be able to come and call unto our Heavenly Father. And Lord, to realize that we have been brought in, those of us who are saved, we have been brought in and adopted into the family of God. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we get into this message today to understand the spirit of adoption, the confidence that we have as Jesus had confidence to bow upon his face and cry out, to you there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, how many times in our life do we find ourselves having to fall before you as our Heavenly Father and, Lord, ask you to intervene in things that's beyond our ability, beyond our understanding. And, Lord, the reason why we ask these things is the same way Jesus did, because we know all things are possible with you. Nevertheless, sometimes it's not your will to do what we ask to be done. Sometimes it's your will, Heavenly Father, let us go through something for a purpose. And Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us as we look and we begin to understand a little about Christ when he cried, Abba, Father, there in the garden, to have an understanding of the meaning of that and the privilege that we have to be able to cry, Abba, Father. We ask this in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. Now, let's look just a few minutes. I want to take you to some verses to lay some groundwork, and I want to come back with a truth or two today to help you with this. If you are saved, You are so privileged to have a Heavenly Father. And so today I want you to understand the privilege that we have and the access that we have because of what God has done for us. Look, if you would, and keep your finger there in Mark. We're coming back. But look, if you would, in John chapter number 1. In John chapter number 1, notice, if you would, in verse number 12, the same relationship and rights that Jesus had with his Father, we have been able to have now because of this. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God, even in them that believe on his name. So first of all, when you are saved and you believe, you are automatically adopted into the family of God. You become a child of God by believing. Look, if you would, in Galatians chapter number 4. In Galatians chapter 4 is a place where we find another place where we find actually this phrase used. We're going to come back to it in a moment, but I want you to turn there for another purpose right now. In Galatians chapter 4, look, if you would, in verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, where? Into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. Now we'll come back and talk about that in a moment. But let's go on to some other places. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. We find here the third place that Abba Father is mentioned. And we're going to come back to it in just a moment too. But notice in verse number 14. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. For if ye have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry what? Abba, Father. So first of all, let me say this. We have been delivered, those of us who have been saved, we have been delivered from a terrible bondage of a spirit of fear, of being afraid, of being anxious, of being in danger. Brother Junior was relating that today, talking about when he was talking earlier today about not having to be afraid if we learn to trust in God. Perfect peace has those whose mind is stayed upon him because they trust in the Lord. If you want to find peace in something, learn to trust in God. Don't trust in the world. Don't trust in man. Trust in God. Amen? And he'll bring peace into your life. Now notice here that the Bible says that we have not received the spirit of bondage again. That spirit is one that has come upon us, and we have a new spirit. Look, if you would, while we're in Romans chapter number 8. Notice verse number 1. The Bible says, there is therefore what? Now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after flesh, but after the Spirit. Those of us who've been born again of the Spirit of God, right now, as we stand here, we are the sons of God. We will forever be the sons of God. Nothing can take that relationship with us. I can never sever my relationship with God as being his son. I can break my fellowship, but I can't break my relationship. My relationship is by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. I was brought into his family by blood. I was brought into my dad's family by blood. I might break fellowship with my dad when he was living. I might not talk to him, might not go around him, but I could never break my relationship. He born me into this world through my mother. I have that relationship through blood, and I don't care where I went, I don't care what I did, I was still Bill Miller's son. And so therefore, in a spiritual sense, I am always a child of God. Nothing can separate me from that love that God has for me, and from the fact that he adopted me into the family the moment I believed upon Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Look on, if you would, in chapter number 8, as still yet. Notice in verse number 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? None of his. You have to be born again. You have to be born spiritually to be brought into the family of God. And once you do, then you are in the family of God. Now go back, if you would, in verse 14. But as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? The spirit of adoption is this. Now get this a minute. The spirit of adoption is to have a spirit where you have confidence in who you are. You have confidence in your relationship. You know he's your heavenly Father. You know he loves you. You know why Jesus was able to cry, Abba, Father? He knew his Father loved him. He knew his Father heard him. He knew his Father wanted the best for him. He knew his Father would take care of him, would strengthen him, would help him in every situation. And we that have got the spirit of adoption, we have the same spirit as Christ did. We know those things about God. And so therefore, it makes us very privileged to know that we have a heavenly Father. Now stay with me a minute. Look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 3. Turn with me. 1 John chapter 3. I know I'm turning a few places, but I want to get a point. 1 John chapter 3, look in verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon who? That's those of us who are saved. Now, God loved the whole world. And we're going to see in a little bit that God was Father of everybody in the world as far as Creator. But he is only our Heavenly Father, a spiritual Father, to those that have been brought into his family, that have been adopted into the family of God, that have been saved through Jesus Christ. Now notice this, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It did not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So those of us who have been adopted in the family of God, we have the spirit of adoption. We not only know and have confidence in our relationship with our Father, but we also want to please our Father in our conduct. Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, notice if you would in verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a what? A father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now listen. My son, my daughter's gone today. But she's already written me and said some things. But my son and my daughter both knows this. There's nothing that I have that if they need it and had to have it, I would not give it. If I had to sell everything I had and give it to them, I'd do it because I love them. The spirit of adoption lets us know that God loves us that much and more. Now, they might ask for something that's not any good for them. I might say, no, I'm not going to be a part of that. But it's not because my love has left them, but it's because it's not good for them. And therefore, I wouldn't be a part of that. But now notice, if you would, the Bible says that we have been delivered from that spirit and bondage of fear. We've been given a new spirit. Look, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, notice, if you would, in verse number 7. For God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love and of a sound mind. So therefore, we need to understand. Now, God gives us access because He is our Father. We've been given access. Now, Kelly and Beth can call me at any hour of the day if they needed me. Now, if they just call me, wake me up, I'm going to be a different story. And they have called me at all hours. And when they were in trouble and needed something, or something bad happened, they called. The worst thing in the world when you pick up the phone as a dad is get a call in the middle of the night and hear your child crying. Your heart already begins to tear out. And you wonder what's going on. But they know they have access to their Father whenever they need Him. And it doesn't matter when. There's not a bad time when they need me. And there's nothing that would prevent me, if I could possibly do it, from stepping up and trying to help them if they needed it. Look on, if you in your Bibles a moment, notice this. Look with me, if you would, in Hebrews chapter number 4. Notice verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, that's those of us who've been brought in family of God, therefore come boldly. That means anytime, at any place, anytime that we need God, we have access to God. Look here. Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in when? Anytime that I need my Heavenly Father, He is never too busy for me. When I really need Him, I can call upon Him anytime. I don't care what I've done. I don't care what's happened. I can call upon Him. I've had to do my Father. I've had to call upon Him sometimes when I know the things that I had to tell Him was going to break His heart. My children's done the same thing with me. But I'm so glad that even when I know what I've got to tell my Father in heaven, He already knows. But when I come and confess, it's going to break my heart to have to tell Him. But He allowed me to come boldly, without any hesitation at all times. Look, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 2, real quickly. I know I'm running you a lot, but I'm running you because I want to get a point across here in a few minutes. Ephesians chapter number 2. Notice, if you would, in verse number 18. For through Him we have what? Access by what? Unto who? Through Jesus Christ. No man cometh the Father but by Him. Through Him and what He's done in our life, through saving our soul, we have access to the Father. Any time, any moment, any place. There's no place you can be that God is not ready for you to come and access Him in time of need. Look on, if you would. In Ephesians chapter 3, Look, if you would, in verse number 12. Somebody read that. A little page of my Bible got tore out, and that, it was that one. Somebody read that for me. Verse number 12. In whom we have what? And what? With what? Do you understand? Those of us who are saved, we have something the world doesn't have. We have access to our Heavenly Father that loves us, that wants to do for us, and He wants all things to work together for the good of us. He loves us at any given time. Now, the thing, when you notice all three of these verses where you find Abba Father, all three of those are in times of trial and trouble. Look, if you would, look back, if you would, in Mark. Keep your finger there a minute. Keep your finger in Romans if you still have it. If not, we'll come back there. But in Mark, this is a time when Jesus is going to the cross of Calvary. Now, get this a minute. Jesus, in whom could do all things. He could heal the sick. He could cause the blind to see. He could cause the crippled to walk, the deaf to hear. He could feed thousands with just a handful of food. He could cause the dead to rise. He could talk to the storms and the waves and the sea, and they obeyed. But now notice something. He's fixing to go to the cross of Calvary. His soul is exceedingly sorrowful. And he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from before me. God, you can make everything happen. You can make impossible things possible. We have a Heavenly Father who with men, it may seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You say, preacher, that just can't happen. It can with God. Well, I don't understand how that happened. God can do all things. And Jesus said, Father, if it's possible, this cup that before me, going to the cross of Calvary, if it's possible. But he used another little word, nevertheless. God, I want your perfect will. Father, I want your will to be done in this. Nevertheless, not my will, but thou will be done. In other words, it may not be the way I want it to be. I may have to go to the cross of Calvary. And he knew that he was going to the cross of Calvary. And he knew he was going to have to die there. But he also knew that he could come to his Father. And the Bible says he went and he fell on his face and he cried, Abba, Father. It was a time of great need. Now look back, if you would, in Romans chapter number 8. In Romans chapter number 8. Notice, if you would, those three verses we read in verse 14, 15, and 16, where we cry, Abba, Father. In verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children and heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we must, what? Suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Look in verse 18, one of my favorite verses. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that which shall be revealed in us. Keep your finger there a moment. Let me say this. This scripture, talking about Abba Father, that we cry Abba Father, is in time when we are suffering. Notice it. It's talking about the sufferings of this present time. We have the same ability as God, Jesus did when we're suffering to come and cry, Abba, Father. Now look on, if you would. He says, even the animals, they groan.
Look in verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now he goes on down and says, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. And we know, this famous verse we use all the time, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Do you get the combination of this? What he says is this. We have access with God, and in times of our greatest needs, our greatest burdens, greatest sufferings, greatest trials, we can cry, Abba, Father, but we must come with the same Spirit Jesus did. We must say, God, this is why, would you just please heal me? Don't make me go through this valley. Don't make me go through and suffer this. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine. Did you know 26 and 27? The Bible said you don't know what to pray for. You don't know how to pray. You don't know what to ask God to do. Because you'll do it amiss. You'll do it for selfish reasons. But that's not the way we approach God. Jesus didn't do it for selfish reasons. What we got to do is say, Lord, I want to go. I don't want to go through this valley. And the Holy Spirit of God says, he needs to go through this valley. This valley is going to help him. It's going to make him stronger. Now, if you notice that connects into verse 28, the one we use, for we know that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. We use that verse by itself, but we don't read the other one. And what that means is this. Sometimes God puts us through some trials for our own good. And sometimes that might be the hardest time of our life. The cross was the hardest time for Jesus in his life upon this earth. Now, look on. Same thing if you go over in Galatians, and I'm not going to go back over in verse 4. He uses the word crying associated with Abba, Father. Here in verse number 15, he uses cry with Father. Now, let me say this. Abba, Father shows us that we have a relationship with God. A couple more verses, and stay with me a minute. Look, if you would, in 2 Peter, real quickly. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Look, if you would, in verse 17. Talking about Jesus. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. In other words, God was well pleased with Jesus. Jesus had a personal relationship with the Father. And the Father loved him and was pleased. Romans chapter 1 verse 7 tells us that God loves us the same. There is also reverence to Abba Father. Now listen to me. I said it goes deeper than just being daddy, papa, as some people tries to translate this word. I'm told, and I don't know for sure, I'm told that there is not an English word to represent this word, Abba Father. But it goes to reverent that you have. In this day and time in which we live, this church age, so many people has lost the reverence for God. We've made him some man upstairs. He's not a man upstairs. He's Almighty God. Some people treat him like a Santa Claus. Not a Santa Claus. He's not a grandpa. He's not your best buddy. And Jesus is not your best buddy. He's Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord. We're trying to get people saved without representing Jesus as Lord. You can't be saved without going to him as your Lord. Amen? Now, there's a reverence. And let me say this. He has given Jesus a name above all names. But look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 23, real quickly. Matthew 23. I want to clarify this up. It's confusion sometimes. Look in verse number 9. Jesus saying, and call no man your what? Father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Now, yet, honor thy, even Jesus himself. Look if you would in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. In verse number 4. Jesus said, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. Now in chapter 23, you have Jesus talking to the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees and all those hypocrites that was religious leaders. Now let me say something here a minute. God does not condemn you and does not prohibit you from calling your earthly dad father. He calls him father yourself. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells the fathers not to provoke their children unto wrath. The Bible says, again, he goes back to this, honor thy father and mother, and that they should be long upon the earth. There's nothing wrong with calling your earthly father, father. But the words father in a spiritual sense means that you reverence him, you set him aside as someone who can make your laws, someone that can dictate doctrines, someone that has all authority. And there is only one. There is one faith, one Father, one God. Only one. And by the way, these Pharisees in Matthew 23, verse 9, were setting themselves up as spiritual fathers, that people could come to them and they could make commandments for people and tell them what to do, and therefore they were unscriptural authority and using unscriptural authority, and no man upon the earth has the scriptural authority to tell you and make laws and commandments for you but Almighty God. We have one Heavenly Father. And let me get a little further in this. The word Pope, the word bishop, the word priest, all those are used in spiritual fatherhood senses. They are unscriptural, they are not supported by scripture, and they are mockery, and when they claim to be able to forgive sins, they claim to be equal with scripture, they claim to have the ability to change scripture and so forth, it's all a fraud. You call no man father. You say, what do you say when you see a priest? I don't say a whole lot, to be honest with you, but I'm definitely not going to call him my father. There is no, I don't want you calling me your father. There's only one Father. That's our Heavenly Father. And God is a jealous God, and there's nobody else that has the scriptural authority to tell you anything. And this idea, well, go say a few Hail Marys and rub your beads a few, that's garbage. Yeah, go ahead and write me letters. I'll get them. But look here. It's a mockery. It's a sham. And Jesus said himself, let no man. Only God has a supreme authority. Look if you would in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. I'm trying to get through. Notice if you would invite 5 and 6. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, you notice those little words, G's and L's? But to us there is but what? One God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in
him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things,
and we by him. In other words, we have only one Heavenly Father. Anybody else that goes down and bows and kisses a Pope's ring and kisses a Pope's foot, it's mockery. It's unscriptural. It has no bearing in the scriptures. And he is usurping authority that God did not have him. There's only one that we bow unto, and he has got a name above all names. And by the way, he is not the replacement. He is not the abominative of Jesus Christ in his absence. He is not the one that God has said, him or the bishops or the priests or anyone else. It is not scripture. And every time someone says Father to a man on earth, Jesus said, thou shalt not. He doesn't have that authority. There's only one supreme authority. That's God himself. Look, if you would, and also there's a reliance that God, we can depend upon him to do all things. Isn't it good to have a Heavenly Father?
Amen.
You know, I was talking to Karen. She was going through some things, and still I'm sure she got things that she got to go through and things to find out. But I told her, I said, listen, take it to God. Take it one day at a time and see what God chooses to do. Don't get way out there ahead of yourself. Don't worry yourself to death about something that may never even come to pass. Take it one day at a time. And understand that you have a Heavenly Father that you can come and cry Abba Father with. That has all ability to do anything he wants. So you can rely upon him. Now last but not least, and you know what Jesus did? He resigned unto what God the Father wanted him to do. What if God wants you to go through this? You have to learn to resign to go through that. But you need to know this. That whatever suffering you do as a child of God is not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in you. You all sung that, you women sung that song, perfect song for this message. What a day it would be when we're through with all this old life and we have bodies that no longer, won't need no physicians no more, Jim. Going to be over with there, buddy. No physicians in heaven, amen. No death, no dying. What a day that will be. No more partying. Man, would that be great. But until that time, we don't know what. And so therefore we have access. Those of you who are saved, you have been adopted in the family of God, and you have the same relationship and the same rights as Jesus had to go and cry, Abba Father, every time that you get in a situation where it seems that it's just you don't just know how to deal with it. Just come and cry, Abba, because you have a loving Father who says, come boldly at any time you want to come. I'm ready to hear you. What a privilege those of us who are saved has. And if you're here this morning, I want you to understand something. God wants to give you the same privilege, but you must come to him through his Son. And no man can go to him unless you go through Jesus. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. That's why we have to draw nigh to God with the blood of Jesus. You cannot approach God without Jesus. That's how high a name he's given Jesus. And so this morning, if you're here and you're not saved, the Holy Ghost of God is drawing you to come. Would you step out and receive Christ and be brought into the adoption of the family of God and just think what access he gives you to a loving Heavenly Father who wants your best. And I don't know what my days may be. I don't know how I may die. I don't know what I may have to go through before I die. But I know I have a Heavenly Father that loves me, and he wants the best for me, and he's going to be there every step of the way with me. Amen. Let's stand today. Would you come? Maybe you're here and you are saved. And God has laid something heavy upon your heart. And you've been trying to carry that burden around. And you just need to come and lay it at the throne of grace and say, God, I need help. Abba, Father, I'm calling upon you. And knowing the spirit of adoption, that he is your father and he loves you. And he wants to help us through every aspect of our life. Would you come this morning as we sing?